Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. Immediately to Cuba. Cuba in the news. We're discussing the problems for all of the New World, but Cuba dominates the conversation always when I think of what can go wrong and why, dating to the middle of the 20th century, the so-called Castro Revolution, and the long history of colonialism in Cuba and abuse of the population, going back, of course, to the Europeans, going back to the period of time in the 16th century when the Spanish Main and exploiting the workforce of the Indian American tribes, the indigenous tribes, but Cuba in the news again. More than 200 migrants sent back to Cuba, Coast Guard says. The lead. Crews returned more than 200 Cuban migrants to the island after intercepting more than a dozen vessels at sea over the last week. Coast Guard cutters Robert Yared and Pablo Valence repatriated 203 Cubans after intercepting 14 vessels from Tuesday to Thursday off the Florida Keys. Professor, a very good day to you. Thank you for this ongoing effort by the Cubans to reach America. I came across it in the Darien Gap in reporting in 21 and early 22, because surprisingly, a large number of healthy-looking Cubans were turning up where I've been used to seeing the big efforts of Haitians. The Cubans were coming in, headed towards the Mexican border. And I puzzled, why this, why now? These are not desperate people. They're well-fed, they're very handsome, and they have skills. So this puzzle about reaching Florida again raises the issue. What is happening in Cuba that is driving these young people away? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Well, certainly something that's not well understood in the West is Cuba really for the past two generations has continued to oscillate between bad and worse. A little bit of history, of course. After the abrupt withdrawal of Soviet Union funding at the end of the Cold War, especially deepening in 1993, Cuba experienced a profound crisis, partly with China money and later with help from oil and other support from Venezuela's regime then under Hugo Chavez. Things got a little bit better in Cuba, but the state-run model really never fully was able to supply the medicine and goods that the people had needed. Obviously, tourism, European tourism, and U.S. tourism after the U.S. under Barack Obama began to open up Cuba, improved things a little bit. The quantity of remittances when that was permitted from the United States by Cubans living in Miami improved things a little bit, although that was something that also eased up pressure on the regime. But essentially, you've always had attempts by Cubans, both because of the political repression, but as well as these economic conditions to get out of the country. And so the combination of those two, up until 2016, you had a policy called wet foot, dry foot, which basically was, if you can make it to the United States, you can stay here and automatically apply for asylum. Now, in 2016, of course, Barack Obama ended that policy. But when you saw the flood of Cubans, especially when wet foot, dry foot was coming to an end, that really accelerated the number of Cubans wanting to get in before that door closed. And so in 2016, you had, something like, over 5,000 refugees who'd come in through that Miami corridor. And then, of course, after that policy, understanding that they would be sent back to Cuba, that dried up. And so in 2020, you had 49 refugees. In 2021, you had 838 intercepts by sea. But this year, you saw a big jump, over 4,400. And so the question is why so many refugees now? And really, the number of actual encounters by the Coast Guard, 7th District, is just absolutely off the board. But what it really goes down to is the profound worsening of the Cuban situation. Now, part of that was the tightening of sanctions under previous President Trump. Part of that was the dramatic worsening of conditions under COVID-19, where you had a fall off in tourism, European tourism, other tourism. And of course, that really deepened shortages. So if you remember that crisis in July 2021, when you had these spontaneous protests that erupted across the island, in part that was frustration with the medical conditions, no good vaccines, ability to get basic medical supplies, no ability to get basic foodstuffs, despite everything the Cuban Revolution had talked about. That just showed the desperation of the Cuban people, despite living in that police state. And so really, when that last door was shut, you really see thus predictably the way in which Cubans are, again, voting with their feet, trying to get out by sea in ramshackle boats, trying to get out over land. Nicaragua's dictator, Daniel Ortega, actually facilitated a way for them to get from Havana to Managua and then work their way up through the isthmus that way. There was another route, as you alluded to, where the Cubans would come down south through the Caribbean and work their way over from Venezuela to Colombia to Necacoli and up through that very, very dangerous Darien Gap. But the bottom line, John, is that despite everything that you hear about Cuba, it continues to be a failing system. And the desperation between COVID and state economic failures and sanctions has really just profoundly deepened. It shows you that combination of crisis and level of desperation with Cubans, not able to, change or reform their political system.
I'm told that there are running problems with energy, brownouts, blackouts, even failure of water pumps to get fresh water. But I want to add to the mystery here of how Cuba functions here all these decades after the Castro Revolution. This is an item from Reuters, Dateline Havana. Cuba will send nearly 500 doctors to the Calabria region of southern Italy, according to Cuban state media. State-run media said Calabria has been suffering a shortage of doctors since 2010, part of a countrywide healthcare crisis, and had been unable to fill the need any other way. I ran into this also in northern Italy. During the pandemic, Cuban doctors just showed up. It was a report from a correspondent of mine. It was talking about how people weathered the pandemic, just showed up in the town and were a great help to the people there. Who are these doctors? What is this medical program? Because I have also read that it's a source of cash for the regime.
Exactly, John. Really, from the beginning of the Cuban Revolution, basically two of the symbolic talking points, first for Fidel Castro and those who followed, was the issue of literacy in Cuba and the issue of medical care. Now, neither one was quite what it seems, but Cuba over the years has taken great pride in training a number of people that at least they certify as doctors. Now, in reality, there's some dispute whether they actually are really at the level of Western doctors or whether they're more at the level of, nurse or medical technician. And so in places like Colombia and Brazil, there have been some disputes about whether the people who have been brought in are qualified according to practice medicine in the standards of those other countries. But having said that, really, it was a combination over the years of both a diplomatic tool, an espionage tool, and a foreign currency earning tool. A diplomatic tool in the sense that part of Cuba's outreach to Africa and other parts of the world was to send doctors, especially going into poor communities who basically function as emissaries of the goodness of the revolution, as well as eyes and ears. I mean, one of the issues with the trading of Cuban doctors and sports personnel for basically Venezuelan oil under Hugo Chavez was the idea that on the one hand, it was a way of getting the Venezuelan oil, but at the same time, it was a way of getting people at least under the auspices of doctors who could penetrate to the deepest levels of communities in key areas. Now, as you also pointed out, because of the way the Cuban system is set up, those doctors who were provided, typically only about 5% of their salary was actually received by them. The issue has been that they live in horrible conditions. I remember when I was at the State Department, 2019, 2020, some of the things that we pursued and others pursued with the Pan American Health Organization, cases of basically exploitation, almost white slavery, the sense that these doctors were being obliged to live in these conditions. All of the money that was being paid for their services was essentially being sent back to the Cuban government. So that has certainly been an issue. And one can expect that in places like Italy, which has some amount of money and supposedly a shortage of doctors in this particular region, that again, it's an opportunity for Cuba to earn money, something that is even more in need as tourist revenues remains limited from Europe and other places.
I learned that a significant figure in the regime is gone, the former son-in-law of Raul Castro. General Luis Alberto Rodriguez Lopez Calleja died at 62, a young man. And I'm told that he was in charge of the state within a state, chiefly the source of foreign revenue from tourism trade, which you note has been extremely disappointing. But with the death of Lopez Calleja, is there someone running the economy new, or is it all committees now? Because they're doing a very poor job.
Well, certainly Lopez Calleja shows a couple things. Number one, that you traditionally had, as you had the succession from Fidel Castro and Raul, that you had individual family members. It was, despite being a communist revolution, it was always a little bit of a dynasty. But what you're also referring to is also the military company that has key parts of the economy at Gaesa. The issue there, again, is that the degree to which whoever runs it, and I'm sure that they are working to figure out who will the appropriate next people will be. But it really highlights the fact that the Cuban military and intelligence services at a fundamental level are the ones who profit from the tourist trade, are the ones who profit from other parts of the economy. So, the Europeans, when they send their tourists, aren't just, propping up doctors and doctors and palm trees. But in many ways, these benefits are and have always gone to the upkeep of the Venezuelan military with a certain amount of corruption associated with that.
The concern I have then on Cuba is the regime as stable as it's ever been? In other words, with all these problems, should I assume that it will continue as a door to outside actors, chiefly Russia? Or is there something new in this failing electricity?
Well, there's certainly a lot of pressure on the Cuban economy. And indeed, we have to remember the pressure now probably does not even begin to approach the level of difficulty that they experienced in 1993 after the very abrupt push out of Russia, which had been their primary funding source. But if you look back, for example, to the July 2021 protests, have to recognize that, first of all, there are no signs of breaks within the Cuban military, who remain loyal to the revolution and thoroughly indoctrinated. There are no apparent challenges to Diaz Canal, at least that we know about in the open press. If you remember what happened in July 2021, Cuba, like China, has control over its internet, control over its telephone system, and other things. As a matter of fact, they actually used Chinese technology back then in July 2021 to essentially isolate digitally those protesters from each other and from the communication with the outside world. And so right now, Venezuela consolidating its power with the Maduro regime, with Nicaragua consolidating its power with the regime, with the region turning ever more to the left and the populist left, and what appears to be administration in Washington, D.C., that at the very least is willing to look for ways to negotiate with as opposed to doubling down, putting pressure on the regime. It appears that across the board, the regime is frankly looking pretty secure, although its people and economy are, as you point out, in very bad shape.
Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. We turn to the big election in this calendar year in the New World, Brazil. This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
If you're a label reader, this one's for you, because your skin deserves more than empty promises. At Hiba Botanica, every formula is made in-house, in small batches using organic, truly non-toxic ingredients, plastic-free packaging, clean, effective botanicals, and safe for all skin types, even acne-prone. No greenwashing, no filler, just skincare that's gentle, non-comedogenic, and designed with intention. Hiba Botanica, non-toxic, plastic-free, always safe for your skin. Shop online at HibaBotanica.com. That's
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.